Good morning, 12 o'clock service. It's good to see everybody today. Come on now, come on now. We're in church today. We get to be a part of the kingdom of God. I'm excited about being able to communicate this message for the third time. So you are in for it. Are you ready to hear the word today? You ready to hear the word today? I'm ready to preach it, all right? I'm ready to preach it. But please look up at all the events that we have going on this month. A lot of different things. Love in WA this week. I would encourage you to go to missions.keypoint.church and sign up for that. All the different opportunities for you to serve. Next week, we've been talking about this for several weeks. We're having our year-end offering on the 15th. And we do this at the end of every year. Many people in our church like to give at the end of the year and above and beyond their tithe. And there are several different things we're going to be giving towards this year. The first one is has to do with local. It has to do with our downtown Rogers campus. We'll be talking more about that. I'm working with our missions team and our trustees, our board of trustees. In fact, I'm meeting with them today to talk more about it. We really believe God wants us to have an influence in the Rogers, the downtown and the east side of Rogers area. We're looking at some buildings. In fact, we have a building that we're working with some people on right now. So be praying about that. Maybe God would have you to give to that. And also, internationally, we're going to be focusing on a ministry called Sow Ministry. Pastor Lucas, our student pastor, grew up in South Africa. His mother and father have started this ministry a little more than 30 years ago, and they now have 125 churches that they have planted through Mozambique, Malawi, and South Africa. And 2 weeks before, 2 weeks ago, I was having lunch with them. They were in the States, and they were here for about a week, and they were explaining to me what they do. They find a village, and they go into a village that doesn't have running water, sewer, electricity, anything like that, all right? And they'll go and dig a water well. And because of the water well, the clean water, they're able to go in and they start a health clinic, then they start a school, then they start a church. And it really opens up the door for the gospel. And I asked him, I said, Pastor, actually I called him the apostle because he is a modern day apostle to me, Pastor Roberto. I said, Pastor Roberto, how much does it cost for a water well? And he said, $5,000. And before I could even think, I said, all right, we'll pay for one, all right? Just like that, you know? And I'm like, all right, hold up. And in my mind, I thought, man, we could do that. That's easy. Then I begin to think, well, you know what? I think we can do a lot more than $5,000. We can do some, maybe two, three, four more. So pray about what God would have you to give. That's on the 15th. If you're not here, we'll have it again the following week as we go into our Christmas season and celebrate that. But that's our year-end offering. And just ask God what he might want you to give for those several different things. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your word today. We're here because we need a word from you. We need to hear your voice. We need your scripture to speak to us, Father. Lord, I thank you that we're going to give you ears to hear. Let this word change me. Let this word change my heart. So deal with me, God. I ask you, have your way inside of me. And Lord, today we're going to respond to you, and we thank you that you are faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and I want to continue with our Christmas story as it pertains to you and me when it comes to joy. Everybody say joy. Joy. What I want to do today is teach you, which is the message, the title of my message, is Living a Joy-Filled Life. If you don't have your Bible or anything to write down, you can get your bulletin or your worship guide, and on the back you can write it down, or you can follow along on our Key Point Church app and take notes. But we're going to pick up the story in Luke chapter 2, and this is what Scripture says in verse 10. I bring you the most joyful news ever. Now, if someone said, especially if it was an angel of the Lord who said, I'm about to tell you the most joyful news ever, you would be sitting on the edge of your seats, right? All right, the most joyful news ever announced, and it's for everyone. Not just the choice few, not those who've got it figured out, but everybody. Come on, say everybody. Jesus came for everybody, all right? So right after the birth of Jesus, an angel of the Lord appears to these shepherds who were in the field tending after some sheep, And this angel tells them, hey, boys, I got some really, 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 really good news for you. And here's the good news, verse 11. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. And you'll find a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. Could you imagine witnessing that? And this is what they did. It said, glory to God in the highest heaven. They sang. So I'm assuming it's a choir. They sang, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth for all those pleasing him. You'd have to agree with me that that was a pretty phenomenal choir, right? It would be as if you took the Gaither Vocal Band and joined them with NSYNC, all right? Come on, somebody, and throw Michael Jackson in there, all right? Because we got everybody involved, right? You got Bill Gaither, Mark Lowry, JT, you got Joey, and Michael, and they're all just singing. Imagine, amazing. With the great armies of angels had returned again to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, come on, let's go to Bethlehem. I love that part. In other words, we're not going to sit here and doubt the voice of God and talk ourselves out of a blessing. We're going to do what the Lord told us to do. Amen. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about. In verse 16, it says, and they ran. The King James Version says they were eager. The original text says they were eager. They didn't waste any time. And they ran to the village and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger, just like the word of the Lord had told them. And the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. You can't hold back great news. You got to tell everybody. That's exactly what happened. And then all who heard the shepherd's story expressed astonishment. Now, I believe a major part of the Christmas story is all about God wanting to bring back joy or some joy to the lives of his people. Now, understand, this was a time when God's people were miserable. They were hard-pressed under the Roman government. And they were being treated like slaves. And the people of God, they were not happy campers. Not to mention that the voice of the Lord had not been heard for over 400 years. Not anything written, not one passage of scripture written. They were desperate to hear the voice of the Lord. And God wanted to change the narrative. Let me say something to you. God wants to change your narrative this Christmas season, amen. Come on, I need to hear a better amen right there. I believe God wants to bring you some real joy in your life. He wants to flip the script. He wants to change the narrative in your life. Now, historically, this was probably one of the top 3 days in the world. You'd have to agree with me, right? The birth of Jesus Christ. And what that means. You ever had one of those days where you get home at night and you feel like you just crushed it? I'm talking, you just nailed it. Every appointment went perfect or even better. I mean, your clothes fit perfect all day. Not one wrinkle that night. Everything you ate was just amazing. One of those great days. You ever had one of those days? Just hands down, historically the best. For me, probably one of the best ones was when the day my wife said, I do. Come on, somebody. She said, I do. And I said, thank you, God. You still do miracles, all right? I don't have to do that anymore, hoping and scoping and dating. I'm done with all that, God. Thank you. I remember when each of my children were born, Haven and Holland and Hayes and Hudson. Historical days for me. I remember the day I got my driver's license, 1985, April 15th. Now, whew, I was so excited. I made my mom check me out of school because I wanted to get to the DMV before everybody else that had their birthdays on the 15th, all right? We getting there, right? And I got there, and true story, I was so short, I had to sit on a pillow to actually take the driver's test, all right? On my driver's license, my original driver's license, I was 5'2". And I actually lied a little bit about that, all right? I was probably 5'1", maybe. And I had to sit on a pillow. Talk about humiliating. But I was driving like, yeah. No, 10'2". You know, I was driving. Got my license. One of the best days of my life. Another day was one of the best days was when I went on my first date. Now, I don't remember much about the date, but what I do remember is me lifting. I had a red Ford Thunderbird, and it was fast. But the problem was the seat set real low. You remember, I'm like 5'2 on a good day, and I had to sit on a pillow. Oh, I wasn't going to sit on a pillow for my first date, all right? So you know what I did? I spent half the day, I kid you not, I raised the level of that seat by about 6 inches. I took the bolts and lifted the seat up and set it on 2x4 blocks. It probably wasn't legal, but I was seeing over the steering wheel finally, all right? Now, you laugh at my expense, but do you see how much joy there is in your life at this moment? Just how much joy you have when you laugh? Have you ever watched people laugh? I love watching people. I'm in the people business, and I like to gather information about people, and one thing I like doing is laughing when people laugh. Some people have crazy laughs. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Sound like a woodpecker when they laugh. My dad, when he laughs, he's one of those quiet laughers. He's like, you don't know if you need to get a defibrillator, like, dad, or laugh, you know? Is he laughing or what? Does he have something choked? You know, something in his throat? Or what about Janice, Chandler's ex-girlfriend on Friends, all right? All right, check the screens out. I got some.
Kill me now.
Kill me now. Come on, everybody do it. Go, don't you just feel better laughing like that, all right? And I know some of you are thinking, what are we doing watching Friends in church? Is that okay? I don't know, all right? It may be gray, but it's okay, all right? and some of you are thinking, why are we laughing? Seems irrelevant, irreverent, right? Absolutely not. Scripture says in Psalms 2:4, the one enthroned in heaven, he laughs. He laughs. Sometimes I think he looks down from heaven and laughs at all the goofy things I do. Shouldn't church be the most joy-filled place you ever go to? Shouldn't we leave this place even more filled with joy and laughter and excitement and faith? The Bible says, let us go into the house of the Lord. We go in and with joy. But I know for me growing up, it wasn't any joy at all. When I went to the house of the Lord, my mom and my father, they made me. It was extremely boring. And I would say that we've got to have some of that, because joy is a powerful gift from God that will help us fully enjoy life. Galatians 5:22 says it's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control. And fruit is a byproduct of what's happening on the inside of you. And when you become a Christ follower and you begin to engraft into the kingdom of God, you begin to produce this fruit. And I don't know about you, but I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life and not the opposite. I want joy. I want to have this true joy. Proverbs 17:22 talks about this powerful joy. It says, a merry heart. Everybody say merry. See, it talks about a merry heart. A merry heart is a good medicine. And in a cheerful mind, a works healing. A cheerful mind. So get the picture here. It's all about the condition of your heart and the condition of your mind. And there really is a healing power in a merry heart, in your mind, in a mind filled with, that fill with cheer. You know, medical science has proven or confirmed what the Holy Spirit in Scripture has been telling us for years now, that laughter is in fact healthy for a person to do. It is. It's powerful. Well, PC, I may be laughing at you having to sit on a pillow, and you know, that's okay, laugh at me. I had a lady after this last service, she came up to me, she said, PC, I can sew you another pillow with your initials in it if you want it. I said, no, I'm good now, I got it, you know. I raise all my seats, you know, no. And I can laugh at you, but that doesn't change my present circumstances. When I look at myself where I'm at, maybe a dark space in my life, I look at it and there's no joy whatsoever. When I look at my finances, there's no joy in that. When I look about my past or look to my future, there's no joy in that whatsoever. When I look, I may be going to work tomorrow. This may apply to you. There's no joy at all. And unfortunately, some of you are thinking, when I see that person at our family Christmas party or my friend Christmas party, it reminds me of some past I'm trying to get away from, and this makes me sick to my stomach. There's no joy in that whatsoever. In fact, studies show that Christmas time, the month of December, is the most lonely, desperate, and miserable time of the year for people. In fact, they say statistically it is the highest month of suicide. And I just have to believe that that was not God's intention when he sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth. That you and I would struggle through this Christmas time. On the outside, looking like we got it all figured out. But on the inside, miserable and lonely and depressed. When in fact, Jesus came to give us life. And I've got some great news for you. He came not only to save you, but to give you this life filled with joy. Once again, I believe the Holy Spirit, if you allow him, is going to flip the script on some areas in your life that seem dark, that seem hopeless, and you're going to see some joy before or like never before. He's going to change it. He wants to change the narrative in your life. He does. He does. I really believe that. But there's got to be some things that we do to work with him. And let me give you a few thoughts before I close. Here's how you live a joy-filled life. You got to understand that true joy is internal. I know that sounds real basic, but hear me, all right? True joy, and the reason why I say true joy is because I believe a lot of us have based our joy on what the world says joy is, all right? So we go into the Christmas season with things attached to, I'm going to have joy based upon the things that the world gives me and so forth, all right? But true joy is based upon what is happening on the inside. That's why a person can have everything this world provides and still be lonely, still be lost, still be confused, still be miserable, because it's all about what they attach their joy to. See, joy, they say, is directly connected to the external. And if that were the case, then we would flop or flip Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, and it would read this way. It said, instead of saying, a merry heart does good like a medicine, we would say a new Lexus SUV does good like a medicine. Come on, somebody. Instead of saying a cheerful mind will bring healing, it says an extra, extra, extra large bonus this year works healing. Amen? And that is basing my joy on the external. You think about the Apostle Paul, who was externally challenged. And 2 Corinthians, it gives a list of all the challenges that he faced. And just to go through a few of them to help you understand this point, the Apostle Paul five different times was beaten 40 lashes minus one across his back. Five different times. And every time, 39 lashes across the back would just dismantle someone's back, just totally separating the meat from the spine. It said that he was beaten three times with rods, these big, massive sticks, three different occasions. Once he was stoned, another time he was shipwrecked. In fact, he was shipwrecked three different times. On one occasion, he was in the ocean adrift for 36 hours, only to walk up on a beach, finally to be saved, freezing cold. He builds the fire, and what do you know? It out of the fire comes the viper. The viper bites him, a snake. And when it rains, it's pouring. And if the Apostle Paul was depending upon the external to bring him joy, you and I would have to say that his life was absolutely 100% horrible. But that was not the case. Look, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. This is what he says. And I pray that we can grasp this. Holy Spirit, help us understand the power of this message. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. That's powerful to me. He says, we're not going to lose heart. Now, time out. All right, really? Could I really go through all that? And after all that, say, oh, well, at least I didn't lose heart. I know I was beaten 5 times. I was stoned. I was shipwrecked. I was bitten. I was this. I was that. I had a lot. I mean, it's bad. At least I didn't lose heart. Could I really say that? And I would have to tell you no. Probably not. Some of us lose heart if the garbage doesn't get picked up on the right day. Can't believe the city. Call up the city right now. They didn't pick up our garbage, making our cul-de-sac smell. We lose heart if the boss comes in and says, hey, we're going to change this last minute change. Oh, I've been working all day on this. No, you can't change this on me. And we lose heart. We lose heart. Then he says this in verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles. That's a massive understatement right there, right? You consider that light and momentary? Okay, all right. But he says, they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. In other words, the Apostle Paul was giving us a clue how you and I can live a true joy-filled life. He said, make sure that you've got something on the inside that's bigger and better than anything this world is going to throw at you. Amen? You better make sure. And here's how you do it in verse 18. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Everybody say fix. But on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Which means, write this down, true joy is based on Christ. True joy is based on what Christ has done for you and me. True joy is based on what Christ is doing in me now, has done in me in my past, and is going to do for me in my future. Amen. I need to hear a better amen right there. That is what true joy is all based upon. It's a revelation of God's favor in your life. It's a revelation of His mercy in your life. It's a fresh revelation, and I pray that you get this, of God's grace in your life. It's a revelation of His power that He has for you. It's a revelation of His word that He wants to speak in your life, of the difference He wants to make in your life. That's what it's all based upon. That's why I have joy, because Christ came into this world so that I could live a fully joy-filled life. And my joy is not determined if I get the fumble or if I get all the breaks. It's based upon what Christ has done for me and what He's doing in me. Now, I said it earlier, and I really believe that God is going to change the narrative for some of you in this room. But is it possible that God is going to change the narrative first on the inside of you before He changes the narrative on the outside of you? And the answer to that question is yes. Oftentimes we pray and our prayers are connected to things on the external. God, I need this promotion, or if you can just bless me with this, or Lord, I need this relationship thing healed. And many times I think our prayers need to be, God, I need you to change the narrative in me first. My heart has issues. My mind has issues. And Lord, if you change that narrative, I know that all these things will follow suit. You see the power here? And I pray that we begin to see the difference here. That my true joy is based upon the narrative of Christ changing me. Lord, start with me. Start with me. That's why we're promoting our 21 days of prayer and fasting. I would encourage you over the next several weeks to ask the Lord what it is that He wants you to fast. Maybe a meal a day, maybe 2 meals a day. You know, there's all different types of fasting and praying. And what fasting and praying does, it gets you connected to and in tune to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. God, what are you doing in me? And I believe through that 21 day of fasting, we're going to see breakthroughs. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to see things that this world cannot provide. Amen. Joy is based upon what Christ has done for me and what he's doing in me. Then lastly, you got to understand that true joy is based on a choice. Come on, everybody, say choice. It's all based on a choice. And some think that it's all about a chance. If we just get some karma going our way, heck with all that stuff. I don't want to live by chance. Amen? And sometimes we don't even know we think like this, all right? So let me help you. If some of you, when you see someone else happy, you probably think it's because they got a break or they're just more fortunate than me. And if that's the case, then you're basing your joy on chance. You look at someone and you think, oh, well, if I had that job, oh, I'd be happy too. Oh, if I had that house, oh, I'd be happy too. You say things like that. Well, if I drove that car, well, of course I'd be happy. Really? And what you're doing is you're setting your joy up predicated upon chance, and that is a false sense of joy. I heard someone say this one time, well, obviously they don't experience what I experience. They haven't been through what I've been through. See, true joy is based upon a choice. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his what? Come on, say it a little better. His what? Where is the mouth connected? To the heart. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to start changing the narrative out there? Then start changing the narrative in here. Start speaking what you want to see God do out there, right here. See, the shepherds, they said, come on, let's go to Bethany. We're not going to sit here in the fields, because I believe if you wait, you can easily talk yourself out of what you think God's doing. Oh, that's not God. Why would God come to us? We're shepherds. We're the meek of the earth. We're the low servants. We're dirty. We don't have a bed to lay on tonight. Why would God come to us and speak to us? Why? But they didn't. They didn't doubt it. They didn't question it. They ran quickly. They said, let's go right now. Let's not waste any time. They made a decision. They worked with the Holy Spirit. They chose. See, that's what joy is. It's not based upon the external, but it's based upon a decision that I've made to embrace something that God, only God, can give me. That's what true joy is. And I believe this Christmas season could be the best one, because you begin to see what true joy is. It's allowing Christ to have his way in me. That last song we sang, I love the words of that song. It says, I'm in, I'm yours. I'm in. I'm in, Jesus. I'm yours. What do you want to do? Go for it. I'm a blank page. I'm an open book. Come on. What do you want to do? Wow. I think this could be the best ending of a year than ever before if you begin to embrace what the Holy Spirit is doing. Will you bow your heads with me as we close? Here at Key Point Church, we respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and he speaks to everybody. One word can change your life forever. It can. This word to the shepherds changed the course of a nation. It changed how we viewed Christianity. It could change your life, but it's a choice. It's a choice. The most powerful thing that God has ever given us is a free will. Most powerful thing. Today we can choose. We're going to choose. Will you bow your heads with me across the room? No one looking around. We respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Maybe it's salvation. Jesus Christ came into this earth to save, to seek and save that which was lost. Maybe you're lost. And the Bible says if you don't know, then you are not promised eternity. It's that simple. And we want to walk with you through that. We want to pray with you. This is a great place. This is a place where you can respond to the Lord. And maybe the Holy Spirit right now is saying, I want you to know for sure that you're saved. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. Maybe at one time you did, but he's not in your life, and you need to make some decisions today and choose to live for Jesus Christ, to invite him into your life. So this is what I wanted to do. Everybody with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want us to pray this prayer out loud. It's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of responding to the Lord. Come on, out loud, everybody say, Jesus Christ. Come on, say, Jesus Christ, thank you for saving me. I repent of my sins, and I ask you to change my life. I confess you as my Lord. I confess you as my Savior. Thank you for saving me today. In Jesus' name.